God, you sent your son as a baby. God, we thank you that he lived a perfect life, only to die on a cross as our punishment so that we wouldn't have to take that. Father, we thank you that you have made it so simple for us to have you as our Lord and our Savior to save us from our sin. We thank you that all it takes for us is to believe. And I pray that every single one of us would do that today. Lord, we thank you for your amazing gift, for your love for us, and the joy and the purpose and the hope that it gives us. I pray all this, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. You may have a seat. And would you thank the worship team for leading us this morning? Great job. This afternoon, I should say. Great job. Thank you so much, Pastor Bob and team, for doing that. Well, Merry Christmas. I am so glad that you are here to worship. My name is Jeff Stimson. I am the lead pastor here, and it's my privilege to open up the Word of God with you on this Christmas Eve. I want to direct your attention, as Sam directed it, to the connection cards. At the very end of my talk, I'm going to ask you a very special question, and I'm going to ask you to check either box 1, 2, or 3. And there's a way for all of you to respond. Obviously, we gave you pens. By the way, this is your gift to keep. Take it home, use it, leave it at a place, you know, advertise our church. We're okay with that. That's fine. But it's our gift for you, and thank you so much for being here. And again, just have your connection card ready because I'll refer to that in a moment. Well, we've been, as a church, talking about the theme of gifts for the last several weeks here on Sunday. And this afternoon, I want to continue that theme, and I want to talk about the gift of all gifts. The gift of all gifts. Now, most of you who go to our church understand that I have 4 kids. For those of you who are guests this afternoon, thanks for being here. I have 4 kids, and I've already told them we're not opening gifts tonight. I know some family traditions are to open up gifts, and my kids do probably what your kids do if you're opening gifts tomorrow. They say, well, can't we just open one, right? And I'm like, well, how do you know you're only getting one gift, right? So you might want to wait till tomorrow. And they're like, no, really, Dad? We're only getting one gift? I'm like, no, you'll get a few gifts tomorrow. And they're like, define few. Like, does that mean more than 2? Less than 5? Help us out here, Dad. Like, listen, you're going to open up gifts tomorrow. I have 4 kids. Their ages are 9 all the way through age 20. I had a 20-year-old, he just turned 20 this past couple weeks ago here in December. I know that's hard to believe because I'm basically 30 years old, all right? So give or take 10 or 15 more years. But anyway, my kids love Christmas morning, like your kids do, I imagine. And one of the family traditions we do, and I don't know if this is a tradition necessarily, but it's more something that my wife and I require of our kids. We have a couple rules on Christmas morning. Rule number one is you're not allowed downstairs before we are. Now, I don't know if they keep that rule or not, but I know when I wake up, at least all 4 of them are upstairs. The second rule we have is no free-for-all. You're not allowed just to go to the tree, find your present, and start opening up in any random order. In some respects, we kind of torture our kids. We make them go 1 at a time. You're going to sit here in this chair. It's your turn. You're going to watch your sister open up gifts. Like, come on, hurry up. And of course, my daughter, she's like, oh, this is such nice wrapping paper. Whereas my boys just rip into it, right? And one of the things that my wife and I do is we try our best, and our kids know this, there's no secret to this, but we try to go in, you know, somewhat of an order. We try to start with their common gifts and then lead up to their most inspiring gift, like the number one gift that they ask for, because we have found that it's not much fun after opening several gifts to end your Christmas with socks, right? And so we always try to, you know, build it up to that last gift. And then once all the gifts are open, we as a family will eat lunch or dinner together. And every Christmas, I make everybody go around the table and I say, listen, out of all the gifts that you opened today, which one was your favorite? And we always want to see if we guessed right, if the last gift that they opened was their favorite. And usually we get it right, but sometimes we're surprised by their answer. Like, no, my favorite gift was gift number 2. You blew it. You should have saved that one to the very end. But they would consider it the favorite gift, the most popular gift. Now, you can imagine, and I'm sure it's true in your family, depending on the age of your kids, depending upon maybe their preference, depending on, you know, what they're going through, circumstances. I'm sure there's different needs at different times. But the question I want to ask this afternoon, is there a gift that is the greatest out of all gifts that's relevant for all of us? Despite our age, regardless if we're 5 or 95, regardless of the stage of life, regardless of the circumstances, is there a gift that's relevant for all of us? The gift of all gifts. And I believe there is. And I want to talk about that real quickly this afternoon by asking three questions. Question number one is simply this. What is the gift of all gifts, right? Have you ever opened up a gift and asked the question, what is it? I'll never forget my very first Father's Day. I was back home at my home church, and they asked all the fathers to stand up, and I was so excited on that particular Sunday because it was my very first Father's Day. And I stood up, and they had an usher at the church walk down the aisle and start handing out gifts to all the fathers. And this is what they gave us. And I wasn't quite sure what it is. And I knew I didn't want to say, what is it, out loud, but I kind of leaned over to my dad. I'm like, Dad, what is it? And he says, I don't know. And there was more murmurings throughout the church, and more people were saying, well, what is it? And then finally some guy, there's always that one guy, if you don't know who that guy is, it's probably you. And he yells out to the pastor who's up front, what is it? And he says, oh yeah, you know, we had to take the wrapper off, but it's a gas pump holder, right? When you're pumping gas, you can put this little thingamajiggy in your gas pump and it will pump gas for you. And someone, the same guy, says, no, thank you. My hand works just fine. And we're all like, really? What is it? Like, there was no need for this gift. We didn't see any value for it. We would not have labeled that the greatest gift of all gifts, right? But I'm so thankful on that very first Christmas, according to the word of God in Luke chapter 2, the angels announced to the world, starting with shepherds, what the greatest gift of all gifts was actually. It says this in the Bible, Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were terrified. It says in verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. Now, I want you just to comprehend this just for a moment. We're so familiar with the Christmas story, sometimes we don't stop and think about it. But on that very first Christmas, when you looked up into the sky, if you were a shepherd, you would have seen this incredible announcement that was really good news, because shepherds back in the day, they weren't really good guys. A lot of times they were thieves. A lot of times they were dishonest. Matter of fact, did you know in the first century, shepherds were not allowed to testify in court? They just didn't believe them. They were crooked. And this is who the angels first announced to these guys who understood that they weren't the best of guys. They were probably labeled as sinners. They knew they were in need of a Savior. And the angels show up and announce on that day, guys, we have great news for you. And not just for you, we have great news for all people. There's a Savior, the Messiah, Jesus. He's born and he's wrapped in swaddling clothes and he's lying in a manger. And so you and I, we both know the answer to this question. The answer is, what is the gift of all gifts? We would say the gift of all gifts is Jesus. The gift that he wants to give us is the gift of eternal life. One of the most famous verses in all of Scripture, John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he, what's the next word, church? He gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Another popular verse, famous verse in God's word is Ephesians 2:8. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved and through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. What gift is he talking about? He's talking about salvation, something that only God can give. And then one more, Romans 6:23, one of my favorite verses, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when it comes to this question, what is the greatest gift of all gifts? The answer is pretty simple. According to God's word, it's the gift of eternal life. And the question we have to ask ourselves, have we received the greatest gift of all gifts? Out of all the gifts you've ever received in your life, all the gifts you received at Christmas, all the gifts that you received in your birthday, your anniversary, maybe just when your loved one decides to give you a gift, ask yourself, have I received the gift of all gifts? Only a gift that God can give me, the gift of eternal life. There's a second question I want to ask real quickly this afternoon is, why do we need this gift? It's very interesting. When you study just trends in our society today, you'll find out that there are certain gifts that have risen above other gifts. Like, for instance, every year there's the most popular gift. I was sharing this with our church several weeks ago. I went back several years and showed them the top gift for every single year. And I told them at the time, I didn't know what the top gift was going to be for this Christmas, 2018. But some reports have come out, and here are the top gifts. These are the gifts that people have said, I just can't live without, right? One gift for the adults is the Instapot, right? They just need this gift. Out of curiosity, how many have an Instapot, all right? Uh-oh, hopefully you didn't get them an Instapot. Take it back. You got one, you know, half a day left, right? Another gift that people are buying this year is Google Home. They love that. They want that gift. That's a trending gift, something that's really popular in 2018. This is one for the kids that I'm just learning about. I messed it up in the first service. I called it a finger puppet. It's not a finger puppet. It's fingerlings. Any of your kids want fingerlings this Christmas? Some of your parents are like, dude, what are you doing to me right now? How late's Walmart open, right? Another popular gift that's been trending this year is the Hatchinimals, or Hatch Animals, or Hatchables, or something where an animal hatches. You understand what I'm talking about, right, parents? And the point is this, is sometimes when our kids come to us, they say things like, well, like, I really need this gift, right? A couple weeks ago, we had the privilege of visiting my parents. They live in Michigan, and so we drove up 3 hours north, and we spent the day with them. And my 14-year-old son, Luke, is sitting with my mom, his grandmother, and she simply asked him, hey, Luke, what would you like for Christmas this year? And he says, well, what I really want is a pair of shoes. And my mom says, his grandmother says, oh, yeah, what kind of shoes? And my son soon learned what she was doing. He goes, well, Grandma, they're a pair of Adidas shoes, but don't worry, I think my mom and dad are going to get them. Because he was worried that Grandma was just going to go buy any pair of Adidas shoes. And then he would have this awful pressure of trying to wear these when she came in to visit. And so my mom picked up on that and she said, well, okay, that's what you want. But tell me, what's one gift that you need? And without even missing a beat, you know what he said? He goes, underwear. I need underwear. Grandma can't mess up underwear. Grandma, give me underwear. Right? And it's funny because even young kids know the difference between wants and needs. Think about it. Most of the gifts you're going to get tonight or tomorrow more than likely fall in the want category. But the gift of all gifts, the gift of eternal life, it definitely falls into the need category. The Bible makes it pretty clear in Romans 6:23 why we need this gift. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Listen, I'm not making this up. This is what God's word says, and you need to understand this. Every single one of us, the Bible says, is in need of a Savior. Why? Because every single one of us are sinners. Now you say, well, Pastor Jeff, you don't know me very well. You're right, I don't know you very well. But I promise you this, the Bible makes it clear, every single person born into this earth, into this world, was born a sinner. And because you're born a sinner, we choose to sin. Now, if we took the time, which we won't this afternoon, to list all of our sins, oh sure, some of you are worse sinners than others. And if we somehow could measure it, there would be one person in here, it wouldn't be me, that probably sinned the least. That would be a bragging point, like, look at all you sinners. But the fact of the matter is this, it doesn't matter. All of us are sinners. It doesn't matter if you're the greatest sinner in this room. It doesn't matter if you're the least sinner in the room. Because of our sin, look at the warning, we deserve death. Not just physical death. The word there means eternal death, separation from God. And God knew this. And God says, listen, I love you too much. Even though you're a sinner, I'm a sinner. Although we label our sin different ways, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And God says, I love you too much to allow you to die that way in that condition. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer you a gift that you desperately need. And it's the gift of eternal life. And so why do I need this gift? Well, the answer is simple, because you can't live without it. Oh, friends, you can live on this earth till you're 95, till you're 105. You can live on this earth till you're 45 or 55. The fact of the matter is, we don't know how long we'll be on this earth, but you can live forever if you know Jesus Christ, the one who gives the gift of eternal life. All of us, my friends, one day will pass, and we will pass away, and the question that we will have to answer is, do we have the gift of eternal life? Because we all need it. And so that leads to the last question this afternoon, is how do I receive this gift? And this is where you have to really study Scripture, because there's a lot of opinions out there. And I want to make this very clear, and people who go to our church, they understand this. I say this all the time. Don't take my word from it because I have the microphone. Take God's word for it. Go home and study God's word for yourself, because it's not about what Jeff Stimson says. It's not about what Grace Powell Church says. It's about what the word of God says. Now, hopefully, Grace Powell Church is founded on the word of God, and Jeff Stimson is speaking from the word of God. But when it comes to this question, listen carefully, there are a lot of opinions out there. And some people think that the way you receive this gift is you just got to be good enough, that somehow you have to live better than the bad choices you've made in life, and that if you somehow could bring up a scale and say, well, I lived good my entire life, yeah, I did some bad, but the good outweighed the bad, therefore God should let me in. That's not how it works. That's not what God's word says. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Like any gift, something has to be given to you. Your eternal life has to be given to you. It's not given to you because you're good or because you do good works. It's a gift. So again, back to the fundamental question, how do we receive it? I mean, we need it. Who doesn't want it? How do we receive it? I'll never forget in 2006 or 2007, I can't remember exactly when it was, but it was the year that the Wii came out. Remember the Nintendo Wii? It came out in November, I think, of 2006. Here's a picture of it. It was the gift that Christmas that just everybody had to have. They even convinced us through advertisements that it's good for you. Remember that? Like, it'll get you off the couch. You'll exercise more than your thumbs. You'll be able to throw things with your arm, and make sure you use a little strap or you might break your TV, right? But you can do exercise, and you can do tennis, and, you know, our kids are selling this. My wife and I are like, man, we need the Nintendo. We need the Wii. The problem was, if you remember, you couldn't find a Wii anywhere. And this one particular day, a week before Christmas, I decided to go to Walmart. I know, pray for me. It wasn't a good choice. Super crowded. The reason I went to Walmart was because I had to return something. I wasn't shopping, but I went to the customer service, and there was two people ahead of me, and I'm waiting in this line, and I was going to return something, and over the loudspeaker, the lady gets on the PA system and says, ladies and gentlemen, we just had 10 Wiis delivered to Walmart. If you'd like one, please come to customer service. And everyone was like, and like, I turn around, I kid you not, I'm not making this up. There was a dude that thought he could jump over a display. He didn't want to like run around the maze. He just thought, he was like, dude, I did this in high school. And he went through the display. And within seconds, there was 100 people in line. Now remember, I'm third in line. I wasn't there to buy a Wii. And so I get up there, and the lady's like, how can I help you? You need a Wii? And I was like, yes. And I'm thinking to myself, this dude that's not in line that's picking up the display right now, he'll probably pay me double for the Wii. And so I ended up buying a Wii, and honestly, I was going to sell it to him because there was no way he was getting in line. I called my wife. I'm like, I got a Wii. She's like, how did you get a Wii? And I explained it to her. She's like, good. So-and-so in our house wants it. Bring it home. I'm like, but I can sell it for double. She's like, no, bring it home, right? And I received the greatest gift that year by dumb, pure luck. But listen carefully. Do you know that when it comes to the greatest gift of all gifts, the gifts of eternal life, that God doesn't expect you to be lucky? That he doesn't expect you to be good enough? He doesn't expect you to be in the right spot at the right time? He's simply saying to you, my friend, I love you. I care for you. I created you. You're in a world that's trying to deceive you. There's an enemy of God that's trying to blind your spiritual eyes, that doesn't want you to see truth. And my friends, I want to freely give you the gift of life. Here's how you receive it. You just got to reach out and take it by faith. Look at these verses. How do we receive it? It's only by faith in Jesus. Look what the verses say. It says, for God so loved the world, again, that he gave his only son. Now, if you want this gift that Jesus is going to give us, what do you have to do? It says you have to believe. You have to believe. This is your faith. If you believe in Jesus, who is God, then it says, you will not perish, but you'll have the gift of eternal life. There's another verse, Romans 10, 9, and 10. It says, if you, you could take off the word you and put your name there. If Jeff, or whatever your name is, declares with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, what does that mean? Does that mean you have to say it out loud? No, it's saying that you have to declare, confess, admit. That's what the key word is there, admit. That Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? That he is God. He's not just any ordinary human. That's why we celebrate Christmas. His birth was like any other birth, not like any other birth. It was the rarest, most special, miraculous birth out of all births. God came to this earth and he put on human flesh. And he came as a baby. Why? So that he could go to the cross and die in our place and take our punishment of sin, take our guilt, so that the payment could be made, so that we could be free and have a relationship with God. You see, you have to believe that Jesus is not just an ordinary man. Jesus is the God. That's what it says. And if you believe this, the Bible says, in your heart, that not only he's God, but that God raised him from the dead, that not only he was born in a manger, but he died on the cross and he came back to life. If you believe that, look what the text says. Again, what does the Bible say? You'll be saved. You'll receive this gift of life. Last verse. It says, for by grace, you have been saved through what, church? What, church?
Faith.
Check it out, because this is the lie that the enemy of God is saying to all of us. The enemy of God is saying, no, you can do it yourself. No, it's not from yourself. It's the gift of God. And so the question we have to ask ourselves this Christmas is, have I received the greatest gift of all gifts? I can't buy it. I can't earn it. But I can receive it by putting my faith in Jesus Christ. You know what I'm afraid? Is I'm afraid we go through Christmas after Christmas and we get caught up in all the festivities. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. And we get caught up in all the celebrations and all the gift buying and all the gift giving. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm afraid we're missing the very point of Christmas. Jesus came to die for our sin so that we can receive the greatest gift of all gifts. One more story and I'm done. There's a picture and a story of this gentleman who was playing his violin in the Metro, DC Metro, which is in Washington. It's a subway. He played it for 45 minutes. He ended up playing 6 Bach pieces, and they did a study. They did a video of this, and they counted, literally, that there was 1,100 people. It was just shy of that. 1,097 people passed by him in these 45 minutes. Are you ready for this? out of the 1,100 people that passed by, only seven stopped. They all heard him. They all witnessed him. They all saw him. 27 of them, when they passed by, put money into his violin case, but they just kept on moving. At the end of the 45 minutes, he collected $37, but only seven people stopped. You know why? Because they didn't recognize who it was. The gentleman in this experiment in 2007 was a man by the name of Joshua Bell, one of the world's renowned violinists. The violin he is using in the subway is the same violin that he played two nights before in the Boston Symphony. He played the exact same six songs for the exact same concert that he played in standing room only, which cost everyone there more than $100 a seat. And the people responded when he was done with a standing ovation. They recognized in the symphony who it was. And the reason I share that with you is I'm afraid Christmas after Christmas, we go through all of these things and we're missing the point. We exchange gift after gift. Again, nothing wrong with that. But the real question and the real point of Christmas, have I received the greatest gift of all gifts? And the only way I can receive that is through faith in Jesus. And so I have a simple question for you tonight. And the question is this: have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Why not make that decision tonight? Why not receive the greatest gift of all gifts right now? When I was 12 years old, at that point in my life, I would go to church every Sunday. My mom and dad were both Christians. I was one of those kids that as soon as I came out of the womb, I was in church. But even though for 12 years I went to church week after week, and even though I knew about Jesus, I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I never received the greatest gift of all gifts. But when I was 12 years old, I was in a service a lot like this. And for the first time in my life, I realized that I personally had to put my faith in Jesus, that I had to believe in my own heart and make my own decisions, not a family decision, but a personal decision to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And maybe that is you this evening. And so I want to give you a chance to do that. And so here's what we're going to do. We're just going to close our eyes and bow our heads just for a few moments. And I'm going to give you time just to reflect. And maybe for you right now, for the first time in your life, you're asking Jesus to save you from your sins, and you're expressing faith to him to become a follower of Christ so that he can become your Savior. So quietly, if that's you, just invite Jesus into your life like I did when I was 12 years old. Express your faith to him. Tell him you believe in him, that you believe he's God, that he died on the cross for you, and that he resurrected and can give you eternal life. And ask for that gift. And by faith, the Bible says, you will be saved. And so I'll just be quiet just for a few moments, and then I'll pray. Father God, I thank you for this time which we can just reflect and take time out of our busyness and just say thank you. Lord, we're so thankful that you have given us the gift of eternal life. We're so thankful that you loved us enough to die in our place for our sin. We're so thankful that you even offer us the gift of eternal life so that we don't have to fear death, that we know that we can live with you forever in heaven. God, you are so good to us. Lord, I pray that each of us would check our own hearts and make sure we have the most amazing, greatest gift of all gifts, the gifts of eternal life. Lord, I pray for my friends who made this decision tonight. I pray that you would just help them to understand that this is by far the greatest decision, that it's a time of celebration, that we rejoice with those who have made this decision. And we just want to praise you for that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm going to ask you to pull out your connection card real quick. And I told you about those questions, those boxes. And we're going to collect these cards here in a short minute. So I'm going to ask the ushers if they would come up forward and stand up here again. But here's the three boxes. You'll notice there's a special question I'm about to ask. And there's three boxes that you can check. And again, we want everybody to participate. So let me tell you real quickly. Box number one is this. If you tonight made a decision. You said, you know what? I just put my faith in Jesus Christ. I just accepted the greatest gift of all gifts. I just right there in that moment, I just had that moment between me and God. And you know, your heart was racing and you in your mind, you were talking to God right now and you made that decision. Would you just check box one for us? Because here's what we want to do. We're going to collect these cards and everybody who checks box number one, I'm going to get this on my desk. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you a letter. As long as I can read your handwriting, right, on the email or the address, I'm going to send you either an email or an address. I'm not going to ask you for anything. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm just going to simply give you a letter that's from me that tells you about the decision you just made from God's word. That's it, plain and simple, right? So check box number one for us. If you're like me, like, I didn't do that tonight because I did it before. I was 12 years old when I did this the first time. I made this decision. We want to know about that as well. We want to celebrate with you. Maybe it was last year. Maybe it was 10 years ago. It doesn't matter. Go ahead and check box two, all right? And then box three is saying, you know what? I just don't know. I'm kind of confused. I mean, you know, I just don't know what I believe. But you know what? I'm going to check box three because I want to ask you a question, or I have some questions that I would like answered. And, you know, we'll reach out to you if that's you as well. So box one, if you made a decision tonight, praise God for all of you who made decisions. That's awesome. Box two, for those of you who made decisions before tonight, that would be me. And then box three is saying, you know what? I just got a few questions. Could you reach out to me? And I'll be glad to do that. All right, so pass those cards to the middle right here, all this section right here to this middle here. And if you guys could pass them to the center, and then if you guys can pass them this way, guys, come up and collect those. Turn those cards in, because we're getting ready for the candlelight service, and get your candles out, please. And I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And then all of those who are helping me with candle lighting, if you can come up here as well. Thanks again for being here. We're going to get transitioned to the candle lighting portion of our service. We'll be done here shortly. But again, turn those cards in quickly, and we'll go from there. Thank you so much. As we are getting ready to light the candles, let me just give you some quick instructions. First of all, do you notice all the red exit signs? I hope we do not need to use them, but if we do, in all seriousness, we have to announce, anytime you use candles, you have to announce there are exits. Those two exits on the side will take you directly outside. For those of you who have children, we want to assure you that if something happens, your kids will be escorted outside as well. So you don't need to run and get them. They'll immediately go out their closest exit and we'll reunite. We're not anticipating any problems, but we want to make that clear. Now, here's how we make sure that we don't have any problems. Ready for this? If your candle is lit, keep your candle straight up. Because if you turn your candle to the side, it's just going to drip and pour, and that's when we'll have to use the exits, okay? So those of you who have a lit candle, keep it upright. And then those of you who will be lighting your candles, you're the ones that turn your sideways. Does that make sense? Just humor me. Does that make sense? Okay, thank you. You're like, how hard is this, Pastor Jeff? Come on. All right, awesome. Hey, in all seriousness, let me explain to you the significance of what I believe is so important about a candlelight service. I think you know in Scripture, the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. And he came to a world that was dark, and he brought his spiritual light to illuminate those who will believe in him. And I really believe this, that the Bible says before we meet Jesus Christ, we're dead in sin. But when we accept him as Savior, we come alive in Christ. And because he's the light of the world, we also become his lights, right? And we get to go into the world and we get to shine our light into the darkness. And we're hoping and praying that just like we met Jesus Christ, others will meet Jesus Christ as well. And the light that he brought to this world will spread. And so in some ways it's symbolic, right? Because once we light the candles, you'll see it spreading throughout this place. And together we're saying as a church, we believe in Jesus, that he is the light of the world. And we want his light to be shining in all of the dark world. Amen? And so I hope that you enjoy this. We're going to sing two songs, O Holy Night, together as a congregation, and also Silent Night. During Holy Night, we're going to ask you to stay seated as the candles are lit. And then during Silent Night, we'll ask you to stand and to sing with us. Thanks again for being here.